Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family, and welcome to any of you who might be joining us for the first time. We're glad you're here. Don't forget that you can download our worship guide at cbccorpuschristi.com. We'll have the scripture references that'll help you follow along the sermon as we teach today in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to hone in on verses 13 to 17. So it's 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. So if you will open your Bibles or your apps and meet me there as we begin with the text this morning. It reads like this. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, then for doing evil. Blessed be the reading of the Word of God. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we're awed by the inspired word that you breathe through the Apostle Peter. We pray that we would understand the spiritual implications, how we can, as believers, apply the gospel in what we can see in this text. And Father, thank you for reminding us that this is not our home, that this is not the place, this is not the life of ease on this side of eternity. Our ultimate blessing is to be with you for all eternity. And so Father, thank you for reminding us that suffering is a part of life in a fallen, broken world. And so remind us of that and how to apply that. And then Father, equip us once again through this text how to respectfully and humbly and reverently, Father, with a good heart, share the gospel and give the reason for the hope that is in us, because you have saved us by grace and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ now resides in us, and we thank you for that truth, Lord Jesus. So guide our time together. I thank you for my faithful brothers and sisters, even those that are now just joining us. What a blessing, Father, to see the church, the body of Christ, grow. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm so excited to look at this part of the text. Pastor Eddie did a masterful job of helping us to see from the text some very pertinent principles that we can apply to our daily lives as we live out and share the gospel. So please, if you haven't heard that, and by the way, you can hear all our sermons online at cbccorpuschristi.com. We have the resources there. Just go to the resource page and they'll be there for you. But incredible. And it's interesting because as we have been teaching and preaching through this, of course, it's been very helpful to us as teachers and preachers of the Word. But it never ceases to amaze us how in our minds, in my mind in particular, I'm thinking, wow, this is so irrelevant right now. But I'm reminded that that's just how the Word of God is in all times. And so these texts actually go together. So I want you to see here as I'll probably read beginning of verse 8 to get that continuity so you can see how Peter flows. And remember, the Bible was not written with chapters and verses. Those were added later. And so to get the fluidity of the thought sometimes is important to kind of look at that, taking the verses out, the numbers and the chapters, and then just kind of trying to see if you can get the thought together. So that's one approach that you can take as you're reading the Bible and studying the Bible. But I want to talk this morning about what this text is bringing up. And it's something really important for all of us. And that is the issue of suffering. Why is there suffering if we have such a great God? These are, questions of all time, right? And I believe they start at the wrong place. I know they have for me in the past. But by God's grace, I've been able to see through His Word the reality that, of course, when we have disobeyed, when God said, you know, when you do this, if and when you do this, you will surely die. And humanity, since the fall, has been thrown in to brokenness. And there were consequences. There have been consequences to that. And so to merely assume that there should be peace and no suffering at all on this side of eternity is missing the whole point, is really not understanding the full weight of reality. And so I think it's important as we think about what it means to suffer that we would actually see suffering as believers, okay? This is not going to happen for anybody who's lost and in their sin and does not know Christ, hasn't been saved by the grace of God and brought into the faith, have been given faith to believe. They're not going to understand this concept of suffering in a good way. And so the title this morning is The Blessing of Suffering. The Blessing of Suffering. How is suffering a blessing? That's a quick question. Well, as believers, we quickly come to find out in the Word of God, all throughout the Word of God, you can look anywhere in the Old Testament, anywhere in the New Testament, generally speaking, and see that suffering is a part of the human experience. And again, I alluded to the fall. Certainly, we've been thrown into brokenness, and the fall has really perpetrated great things because of that rebellion. We have rebelled against a holy God. And sometimes we don't like to hear that, but we must deal with that so that we can begin to rightly think about these things. And so the blessing of suffering for the believer is actually very different and encouraging. So if we can take encouragement from the suffering that we endure, we can endure in faith, and we can make sure that we are standing on the truth and we are focused and centered on the right thing. So as we talk about the blessing of suffering, may this text again remind us and teach us how to think about that, how to experience that in ways, and to rightly share these truths with others and rightly experience these situations in life that are inevitable for the believer, especially when we do live in a broken, sinful world. Our sin, the sin of others, creates a lot of problems, and that's not always something we are willing to look at. But by God's grace, thank God, the Word of God helps us with all of that. Again, let me begin at verse 8, and I want you to see how this all flows together, and then I'll give you 4 points that we are going to be working through this particular morning. So have your journals ready, your notepads ready. Verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called. That's what believers are called to. Remember, Pastor Eddie did a great job of breaking these verses down for us, that you may obtain a blessing. Peter is talking about blessing, blessed, and that's interesting in the context of this kind of suffering. And then he goes on to say, whoever desires to love life and see good days, who doesn't, let him keep his tongue from evil. Easier said than done. But thank God for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And his lips from speaking deceit. Again, we see deceit everywhere. The lying seems to come easily. And then it says, verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. So now we see again, we see in our text today, zealous for good, do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. So again, there are some principles, there are some imperatives, seek peace and pursue it. So these are the things we begin to do and live out as believers who have been set apart for the glory of God to the gospel. And so again, we turn away from this evil and we do good, we seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, those who are in right standing with him, his church, his children, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now we can see in verse 13 this flow. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Now notice that preposition there. If you are zealous for what is good. If you are zealous for what is good. What is good? God is good. the gospel, the good news of the gospel, it's good. Because everything prior to that is bad. There is not a good ending, no matter what kind of life we had apart from Jesus Christ. It is good. We are zealous for what is good because apart from salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from that, we will be zealous. It's inevitable for other things, lesser things. That is why there has been always idolatry from the Old Testament to the New Testament, setting other gods, just really other types of idols that are like us, worshiping ourselves because we are rebelling against the one true God. But Jesus comes and saves us from that and begins to speak into his children, those that he has purposed to save, the truth of this gospel. And so this is important for us to grab this. If you are zealous for what is good, no one, it's a rhetorical question Peter is asking here, no one then can harm you ultimately. Even death cannot take away what has been assured you in Christ Jesus. Do you today, believer, have an assurance of salvation that come what may in the year ahead or years ahead, should the Lord tarry, you will not be removed. You will have secure. You are secure in Christ. So no one can harm you. And so what Peter's doing here is begin to set us up to think rightly about these things. Is sometimes we are afraid of hurting, of being harmed by people. That's not the fear that Peter is saying is really ultimate. That's not the fear, that's not where we should be focusing our attention, is the fear of God. It is the fear of dishonoring him. It is the fear, that's the kind of thing that we're seeing here. So no one can harm you if you are zealous for doing what is good. But, verse 14, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. And now, Peter's not saying you won't suffer for righteousness. He's just saying that, by God's grace, if you should live out this precious gospel and be kind to others, that it's probably going to be produce a good result. But ultimately, even that might not do it. And they hate Jesus, they'll hate you. There is inevitably going to be some measure of trial and trouble and suffering. Suffering is going to happen. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, in other words, if you suffer for doing what is right, he's not talking about suffering because of your own sin and your own decisions that have brought these situations to come in your life. He's talking about for doing what is right in the sight of God. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. And that word blessed is a Greek word called makarios. Makarios, which in its definition, some translations, the old translation, the King James translation, uses the word happy. Happy is the man, or blessed is he. That kind of thing. And it also has in built in the definition of being well off. For example, someone who was wealthy, we see them as well off. Why? Because they have a lot of money. They have a lot of resources, right? But being well off in the world is temporary. I mean, money comes, money goes, treasures, people die, people leave inheritances, and they move on. You can't take it with you. But the kind of treasure that Peter begins to focus in on here is a treasure that is never destroyed, where rust and moth cannot destroy. It is that treasure that is eternal. And this is kind of what he's talking about when we are blessed. We are ultimately blessed. We are well off as children of God because we have the treasure that is Christ and the kingdom of God. That's real treasure and real wealth. That is what it means to be blessed. And sometimes I think we have seen this erroneously taught in many evangelical circles that being blessed by God is God actually giving you what is good now, like giving you the money and the wealth and all of these things. I'm not saying God does not give good gifts to his children, absolutely. And I'm also not saying that those things don't come from God. They do, but that is not the ultimate treasure. Those things come and go, come in and out of our lives. But one thing remains is the ultimate treasure, that is the wealth that we have in Christ alone. He is our treasure. Praise God for that. So again, this makarios, this blessed, you are blessed, brother, as you continue to mature and grow in the faith. And you consider yourself well off, not because of yourself, but because of your Savior. You're well off because you have the treasure that is Christ. You have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Word of God that is an unbelievable treasure to sustain you, to nourish you, to grow you, to encourage you, to keep you grounded and stable in such an unstable world. We can be disappointed, we can be encouraged, but all the while, the point is our being blessed by God. We are blessed because we are with Him. We are blessed because we can suffer for the sake of the gospel. We can suffer for righteousness' sake. That is a blessing, not a curse, not a bad thing. It may not feel good, but it's ultimately good because it glorifies God, demonstrating that we truly are the children of God who are faithful no matter what because of the faith that's been given to us. And so we see in this text very, very importantly what it means to be blessed. And then it says again, but if in your heart, have no fear of them, is the next part of the text there, nor be troubled, but in verse 15, but in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy. I would suggest to you to really look at that particular part of the text, because this is really the center point of our text, of our teaching this morning. Everything centers on this verse right here. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. That word, holy, is hagadso, hagiatso. And it means to make holy, to venerate, to purify, to consecrate. It is akin to what you see in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, hallowed be thy name. Christ the Lord is the one to be revered, to be venerated in all of life. He is the center of our lives. He is where it's all at. We find everything we need in Christ. And so with our lives, in our suffering, we honor Christ the Lord because He is holy. Hallowed be your name. And then we get a very popular 1 Peter 3:15. We call it the apologetics verse. I'll explain. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We will be asked. We will have opportunity. And it's important that we be prepared. And the only way we can be prepared is through the Word of God, through growth and maturity, not through short, pithy, you know, overgeneralized scriptures and text that are taken out of context, but a genuine understanding of hallowing Christ as the Lord of our lives, who is guiding us through the Holy Spirit and teaching us in all things to live in a way that is glorifying to Him and good for the church, good for the culture. Culture is not always good. In fact, more times than not, we know this through history. Even right now, culture does not want to hear the good news of the gospel. But there are those that the Holy Spirit is awakening, that He will put in your midst, that He has purposed to make awake to this precious gospel, and He may use you to do it. And they may come and ask you for the reason for the hope that is in you. What hope is in you? You have the hope of Christ. You have hope because hope is a person. It is Jesus Christ, your Savior and your Lord. So I want to give you four things as we continue to work through this text. Four things, 4 points that we can really use to organize our understanding of this text. Number one, do not fear and do not be troubled. Those are things we can see directly from the text. And it may seem simple, but it's important, and I think it's relevant for us to see it that way. Do not fear. We may have a tendency in our sin, in our flesh, to fear, to be afraid. And secondly, do not be troubled. So that's number one. Do not fear and do not be troubled. Praise God for that truth. The second thing we're going to be looking at as we continue to process what we're seeing taught in this particular text, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Just like I said, this all-important verse in verse 15, the beginning part of verse 15, which is really the most unpopular part of the verse, unfortunately. We always hear, give a defense of the hope, the reason for the hope that you have in you, that kind of thing. This first part always gets missed, but it's so critical. It all goes together. And so number two, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Venerate Him, worship Him. revere him with everything. That means you have tremendous awe and reverence for the name of Jesus. Number three, the third point, be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Straight from the text, the second part of verse 15, be prepared. That's important. Some of us are not preparing ourselves well. We're not disciplined in the truth, in studying the word, getting together with those who can encourage us, who can help us, who can hold us accountable. All this is important. We are not aimless, just doing our, you know, living out our Christian life just any old way. No, there is real purpose. There is a plan. There is a way, and we must really be disciplined to be prepared, to prepare ourselves, to give a reason. And again, you don't have to be this unbelievable apologist, this high-ranking apologist who knows all there is to know. There is no one like that, by the way, who knows everything. But that's not what you're being called to, is knowledge. You're being called to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And it's basic. Be simple. Just share what Jesus has done and is doing in your life, what you've come to know and understand by the Word of God, and share it in simple form. Give a reason. My reason is Jesus forgave me of my sin. He has transformed my life, and He is transforming my life. And He's a good Savior, graciously leading me on. And He has promised me that He will never leave me nor forsake me. These are things, these are reasons we can give for the hope that is in us as believers. And so don't overcomplicate it. Don't get caught up in all kinds of theological debates and ideas. There might be a place for that, but ultimately, as we're sharing the gospel and as we're evangelizing according to the Word of God, man, share the reason for the hope that is in you. Keep it simple and powerful. Use the Word of God and share your experience, your story of how God's grace has rescued you from your sin. And so this is important for the last point, number four. The last point is this. Listen, understanding all of that, do everything with gentleness and respect. Do everything with gentleness and respect. Believers, this is easier said than done, as I've alluded to before, because we can easily get off track. We can become emotional and angry or even just kind of frustrated at times, and it will come out. But God help us. And may we be willing to seek repentance and say, Lord, forgive me for flying off the handle, for becoming over-emotional and not seeking the peace, not practicing the peace that surpasses all understanding. Again, peace is the person. It's Jesus Christ Himself in us, His children, helping us to do everything with gentleness and respect. I mean, it's easy to get into debates and arguments, but we must be gentle and respectful and keep it simple and allow the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, is the only one who can convict of sin. He's the only one that can ever transform any life. He's the only one to transform this hard heart. And He has saved me from myself. And He has given me new life. And I understand now what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are past. Behold, all things are being made new. God has been making me new by His grace. I don't deserve it, but He's been merciful to me. I pray He's been merciful to you, and I pray this encourages you to humbly say, Lord, forgive me when I have not been gentle and respectful with others. And sometimes we're so zealous about what has happened to us that we want to take the Bible and just seemingly beat people over the head with it. No. Be gentle. Be respectful with God's grace. And Peter is doing a great job of teaching not only the first century believers who were dispersed and they're exiles, but this word teaches us exiles, those of us who are in the world but not of the world. And we must learn. We must humbly say, yes, we made those mistakes. Forgive us, Father. What a precious truth. And thank God for His word. So those are the four points. Let me just repeat them for you. Number one, do not fear and do not be troubled. Number two, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Number three, be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And if that hope isn't in you now, I pray that God is using this word to awaken you to that truth. And there are others in your group, maybe in the home that you're meeting with, or in your missional community, in your Bible study, or in your discipleship relationship. And you have questions because you realize maybe for the first time, maybe that awakening hasn't happened. There are brothers and sisters, believers, who are willing to share with you and pray with you about all of that. Please seek them out. That's what we're all about. And so that's important. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And number four, finally, do everything with gentleness and respect. Everything with gentleness and respect. And here we also see, again, let me read that verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense. That Greek word is apologia. Apologia, which means apology or apologetic. It doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means make a defense or defend your position, defend why you live the way that you live. Again, it's not entering. There are those who are apologists and debate and all for. But for us, for every believer on the face of the planet who has been saved, we make a defense by giving a reason for the hope. We defend, and that's what this is talking about, to anyone who asks, because who asks you. So the understanding here that Peter's bringing to bear is that this is not some sort of overly general. This is specific. Someone who comes to you after you've been born again, now that you are in Christ and you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and someone will inevitably come and ask you, or they see your life, or they get to know you at work, they get to know you at home or in your extended family, and they start to ask why you do the things that you do, why you live the way that you do, and all that kind of thing. There are questions that are opportunities for you to share and give a reason for the hope that is in you. So this is a way that we give an apologetic to the life that we've been called to, an apologetic to the fact that we are Christians, we are set apart people, that we have placed our faith in Christ alone. That's what Peter's talking about. Anyone who asks you for a reason for that is the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. Verse 16. So that when you are slandered, man, you mean I'm going to be slandered? Yes, every true believer is slandered. Because in a culture that rebels against Christ, rebels against absolute truth, rebels against right, and tries to make wrong right and right wrong, there's going to be slander. Well, you don't respect you, whatever. Those things are going to happen. And so we have to be prepared for that. We have to know that as believers. We cannot be ignorant of such things, brothers and sisters. And so that's why we have this verse in verse 16, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior, no, what are they reviling? Your good behavior, because it wouldn't matter if they're reviling your bad behavior, but it's, you know, two wrongs. It's not going to affect anything as far as the gospel is concerned. But when you are reviled for doing good, when you are reviled for righteousness' sake, that's what Peter is getting at. He says, your good behavior in Christ. So remember, Peter's been talking a lot about the conduct of our conduct as Christians, our conduct as believers. So that behavior in Christ may be put to shame. In other words, they will be basically debunked. It will be known that what they were saying was wrong. And they were doing it purely because they were upset and they wanted to attack you and they wanted to malign you. They wanted to belittle you because they didn't want to feel like they were wrong. They don't want to have to confront their own reality, their own sin reality. So it was better to kind of bring you down. But even that didn't work, because when the truth surfaces, whether here or there, now or in eternity, that is put down. And then verse 17, we'll close with this. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. It is better for doing good. And sometimes we struggle with that as believers as we grow in our faith. But the Bible is very helpful. And notice that we can see that Peter's been talking about this throughout the letter. And from here on out, at least on into chapter 4, we're going to see this tension of what it means to suffer and be blessed for suffering. The blessing of suffering. We're going to see this how it works out in the life of a believer. And we're going to understand, I pray, the goodness of God in all of it, and his good and pleasing will for your life, and his care and his love and compassion over you because of it. I mean, we get to suffer for Jesus. That's a blessing. And we can only understand that as we've been awakened to the gospel. Again, in Proverbs, let me go to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be put at peace with him. This is something that's a spiritual principle that runs through the scriptures. In 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20, Peter told us this. You might remember this. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? Like that, well, that doesn't matter. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. 1 Peter 4:14, we'll get there, but let me just share you, this really has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. It says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. 1 Peter 4:16, just a couple of verses down. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. And now I want to take you to something Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 10. That's apropos here, and that is this. Blessed are those, that same word, makarios, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see the contrast there? The kingdom of heaven is true wealth. That is where we are actually well off. Praise God, in the right way, in the complete way. And so as we think about these things, there are other scriptures that you can turn to on the worship guide. Please go and see those as you review what we've talked about, maybe as you study these verses for yourself, maybe with someone else as well. But I want to close by reminding us of how we can learn from this and how we can apply these truths to our lives as believers and prepare ourselves and not be caught not knowing what to say or what to do. I believe we can always give a reason for the hope that is in us because of what has happened to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, number one, do not fear and do not be troubled. We live in troubled times, but that shouldn't trouble the Christian. We should pray and we should be at peace and we should continue to be prepared to share the gospel, to give a reason for the hope, to defend, to give an apology, an apologetic, better stated, for the reason that we have and that it's found in Christ. The second thing is honor Christ the Lord as holy. There are many other things in this world. They are lesser things. The one thing that drives the believer is our understanding that Christ is at the center and that Christ is the Lord. And he merits our worship, and we must venerate him. We must say, hallowed be your name. Number three, be prepared and get prepared. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know. I'm not that gifted. That's not even the point. You've been given the greatest gift. You've been given Christ. He has rescued you. He has transformed you. He has forgiven you. Just give the reason simple, humbly and respectfully and considerately. Just give the reason for the hope that is in you. And number four, do everything with gentleness and respect. So important as we consider the days that we live in. The church is growing because of what God has done in the person and work of his son, Jesus Christ, to save his children. And as we continue to grow, let us pray that we would understand better what role suffering plays in our lives, especially as believers. And let us not make the mistake of think it odd that we are suffering from our own sin. If we've sinned and if we've made mistakes, we must own up to it and not, oh, why am I suffering? We know why we're suffering. But when we suffer for doing good, when we suffer for doing what is right, for righteousness' sake, that is pleasing to God, and it's a right thing. It's okay. And we are ultimately okay. No one can separate us, Paul said in Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? No, we are kept in him. Praise God for that. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for these truths. Father, help us to better be examples and help us to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to be considerate, to be gentle and respectful of others, but help us not to miss the opportunity to give the reason for the hope that is in us. You, Father, have rescued us, have forgiven us of our sin, and you have given us a reason to live, but you've also given us a reason to share and to speak with others this precious gospel. And help us not to live in fear and not to be troubled, no matter what's going on around us, because you are in control. And Father, we once again humbly honor and revere you, and we worship you in spirit and in truth, for you are worthy of all praise. You are the Lord, Christ the Lord. And Father, we just thank you. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those who are watching. I pray that you would continue to grow us in the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be light and salt on this planet, Father. And as we struggle and as we suffer, let it not be because we are sinning and we are doing our own thing. Father, we renounce that, we repent of that, and we pray that, Father, whatever suffering comes, it be to your glory and to your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.